Father, we thank you for this time, and we just ask you to bless your word in all that we do. May we seek to glorify and honor you in your name. Amen. We are going to be in Romans chapter 4 tonight, and this is still Paul as he's trying to get through the heads of these Jewish religious leaders. Like we've talked about in the first three chapters, Romans been kind of scattered out how terrible some people were, but yet that we're all just as guilty. You know, it listed that big list of sins in chapter 1, and then in chapter 2 he tells them that we're just as guilty. And then in 3 he says there's not one person righteous, not one. And so in chapter 4, he's still talking or writing to the same people. He's still dealing with those people in Rome. And as he begins to write this and this chapter, he's talking about our justification by faith, because the Jews were still, they had been raised and had been driven in their head that it was all about the law, and you got your justification, you got your relationship, you got your covenant with God through the law, and that's all that mattered. And now it's being taught to them and told to them that it's justification by faith in what God is doing. And so that law that they had in the Old Testament, they're thinking that Paul is trying to abolish that law. And Paul is not trying to abolish the law. He's trying to say that even though you have the law that you followed all this time, that was God's way of pointing you to Christ who was coming. You were to follow the law to show your faith in God that He had redemption for you. And so as they're beginning to discuss this, he starts off with this question in verse 1. He says, "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God." And so as he's saying that, he's using Abraham here because they believed, as these Jewish leaders, Abraham was a righteous man. And they believed that as he was a righteous man, his righteousness before God was set. And so as Paul is bringing up Abraham here, and going to bring up David in just a minute, Abraham is the father of their belief, the father of their faith, the father of their people. And when you actually will talk to a lot of Jewish people that they don't go back to Adam. They go back to Abraham and they stop. That's where they go to. And so that's their father Abraham. And so they seen him as that righteous individual, and he was the father of their beliefs. And so Paul, what he's doing here is so perfect, and he's taking, because they're having a hard time believing this justification by faith. And so he uses Abraham and he says, "What has he gained, you know, as your father according to you by flesh?" He is the one that you go back to. And he says, because if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. Abraham was a great man, but he wasn't perfect. But he had a lot of good works that he followed. And so they felt like that works was what got them justification. But it wasn't. And so he goes on, he says, "For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." Now some translations will use credited. And the Greek word that's there, it's basically relating to the fact that, let me see where I wrote it down. It says, it's accounted, credited, imputed, and it's written 9 times in chapter 4 alone. It's a one-sided transaction that something is given to a person that does not have that. And so it was credited to his account. And this is Genesis 15:6 that he's quoting here when he says, "Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness." But when they're willing to see that Abraham was righteous, and they understand Genesis where it says that it was credited to him as righteousness. But this is 400 years before the law. So he wasn't credited righteousness by the law. He was credited righteousness by his faith in God. When God made the promise that God would make him the father of many nations, that's what he believed. And he took God. And this is one of the main things that God has really impressed on my mind over the past couple weeks looking over this and studying it. He took God at his word. It's pretty simple. It seems really basic for us. But how do we do that? How do we follow that? But that's what he's saying. It says, Abraham just believed God. When God said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Okay, I'm old, but I don't understand, but I believe you. And he just took God at his word. When God said, go, he got up and he left and he went. When God said something, he believed him. Now, he wasn't perfect, and he made mistakes, and he lied, and he did some things that were wrong. But when it came to his faith in believing what God said, he believed it. But when he came to living daily life, it wasn't that he didn't believe God, but he took his eyes off of him. And so, this is my sister type of deal, you know. And it wasn't that he didn't believe God at that time, but he just took his eyes off for a little bit. And so, it's one of those, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. And I think I get to that point sometimes, and you probably do too, in the fact that we know what God says, we know, but when we get distracted by something else, it's an unbelief when we take our eyes off of God and do that. And so he's telling them here, he's using Abraham, and he's saying, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And as I'm reading this week, I'm studying this, and it said that belief did not make him righteous. It was credited to him as righteousness. Belief does not make us righteous. Belief in Jesus, and we'll get to that in just a minute at the end of this chapter, but belief in what God has done for us is credited to us as righteousness. And some commentaries will say it was put on his account as righteous, as righteousness. And so he was credited, he was accounted, he was imputed righteousness because of his belief in God. Verse 4 says, now to one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but they're due to him. And to one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. So as the Jews were at that time, they believed that you fulfilled the law and you obeyed the law, and that was where you got your righteous standing with God, was because I obeyed the law, because I sacrificed in this way, because I did this, because I didn't do that. Those things, those works, were how I would show myself righteous to people. But it didn't get you righteous before God. And so he's telling them, if a person does something, works all week, and they deserve a wage at the end of the week, that's normal. But if I was going to do works, whether it be a sacrifice or a ministry or something, and God owed me, which God never owes anybody anything, but that's what it would be. If I did all these works for God, and God, well, I have to give Steve righteousness because of the works that he did. He followed my law, and so therefore I owe him righteousness. God doesn't owe me anything, and I couldn't keep that law anyway. But that's what the Jews were thinking. That was their mindset. And so now Paul is telling them that if a person is owed something, that's one thing. But God justifies even the ungodly when he has faith. Because when you believe God, when you take God at his word and you step out on faith, Abraham, when God said go, he got up and went. He said, go up and sacrifice your son. He went. The things that he did, he stepped out on faith. And it says here, even those ungodly Gentiles. And this was the hard part for the Jews. Those ungodly Gentiles could have faith. They didn't have the Mosaic law. They didn't have that law to follow, so they couldn't attain, according to the Jews, they couldn't attain righteousness because they didn't follow the law. They didn't have the law. And so here he's telling them that Abraham believed and was counted righteousness long before the law, long before that law was there. You know, 400 years or so before the law was there, Abraham was credited righteousness. And it says that, it goes on, it says, just as David also speaks of the blessings of one whom God counts righteous apart from his works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. So now what Paul has done, he's took the father of their people, the father of their belief, the father of their faith, the father of their religion, Father Abraham, and he's used him to say it was his faith that justified him. And now he's taking their favorite king, the best king that they ever had. So he's taking the father of their people and now the best king that they've ever had, and he's showing them that these two were justified by their faith. David is saying that you are that justification was a gift through faith because they believed. He knew what he had done was wrong. And when Nathan told him that he was, as we would say, presumed innocent through God because he was forgiven, in that case, he realized God had forgiven him because of his faith in trusting God. Now, was he perfect? No. But he had a faith in God, and so because of that faith, he was forgiven. And so, as he begins to try to tell these people, he uses Abraham an example and David as an example. And so, if you're going to get their attention, that's two people that you would use. They were the two people that they looked up to the most from the Old Testament. And so, we'll go on in verse 9. It says, in this blessing, then, only for the is this blessing then only for the circumcised and also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was after, but before he was circumcised. So this has to bring these people back to this eye-opening thought that, because he's basically saying when Abraham was credited righteousness through his faith, he was still uncircumcised. This was 15, some believe 15, some believe up to 25 years before the circumcision came. That Abraham, the idea of circumcision came when he was around 99. He was around 75 or so when he was credited with righteousness by belief, by faith. And so now he's telling them that their circumcision is not what makes them righteous. Their following those rituals is not making them righteous. And so he tells them that. And what they have to accept is that the circumcised and the uncircumcised are really the same. But he's saying in the fact that when it was credited to Abraham, he was really uncircumcised. And so therefore, because of his faith, he is also the father of the uncircumcised. So he's the father of believing Gentiles. He's the father of believing Jews. Those that have faith, he is their father. He's the father of faith. And so they're having to come to the understanding that he is the father of the believing Gentiles. It goes on, it says, he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteous that he had faith. He had by faith, which while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that the righteous would be counted to them as well. And so it was just, he was saying it's possible for those. The circumcision was, in a way, it was like our baptism. That we, if you can kind of tie this in, and I'm not saying it was baptism at that time, but it was a way of showing, a way of sealing what you believed. And it was a outward, like we always say when we baptize somebody, it's an outward profession of an inward commitment. They would believe in God, and so he gave Abraham, because you had faith in me, because you believe me, I'm going to give you this circumcision to show your faith and to show your separation from the lost, from the Gentiles. And so that's kind of the way it parallels with our baptism. It did not make them righteous, and our baptism doesn't save us. But what it does is it shows outwardly what took place inwardly. And so, just like baptism doesn't save us, circumcision didn't make them righteous. And so, he is telling them that whether you're circumcised or not, it comes down to your belief, to your faith in God that is going to make you justified. Okay, let me find the verse I was on. I lost it there. Let's go to 12. It says, "And to make him the father of the circumcised, who were not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith of our father Abraham, who had before him was circumcised." So it's that we're connected to Abraham, and actually it's Abraham's faith that we're connected to is where it should have been, instead of we're all in the same tribe, and it's done. Okay. So in verse 13 it says, "For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." And again, these people are still caught up on the fact that righteousness comes by faith. We know that that doesn't happen. He's trying to explain to them that it doesn't happen. He's saying that this promise that he was the heir of the world, he's really talking about your heir will end up being the heir of the world. And that's, of course, is Jesus that would come. And as he's telling them this, he's sharing with them that the righteousness comes through faith. "For if the adherents of the law, who are to be heirs, faith is nullified and the promise is void." Because if righteousness was going to come by somebody that was obeying the law completely, then righteousness was never going to come. Because nobody could obey the law completely. And so God does it as righteousness. This promise that God has, there's basically three reasons that it comes. It's one, to show grace. Two is because if it's not of God, it's not going to happen, because you and I are going to mess up. Every person that tries to do it by the law, every person that does it in any other way is going to mess up. So the only way it could happen is that it would come through God. And the fact that it was righteousness, it come through justification, come through God, that meant it was going to be offered to everybody. And so those promises that God made were based on those three things. One, because God is grace. Two, because, I need to put my brake on here so I don't roll away. But that grace would be shown, and one, and two, that it would be sure to happen, and three, that it would be to everybody, because if it was due to us, if it was up to us, it would never happen. And the Jews would have kept it to themselves, so it wouldn't have been to everybody. And God's grace would not have been shown. And so that's the promises that he gives as he goes here. In 14 it says, "For if the adherents of the law, who are to be the heirs of faith, is null and the promise is void, for the law brings wrath, but there is no law there. Where there is no law, there is no transgression." So he's telling them here as he looks at, as he says this, that if faith wasn't what the promise is about, it would be void. It says, "For the law was there to bring about where they fall short. And as I think about that, we all know and we talk about all the time about how sin means that we've fallen short of God's glory. But how do you know what sin is? Well, the preacher or the Sunday school teacher or the Bible study leader tells you. That's how we find out. Well, we need to get into God's Word so that God's Word tells us. And we can see that if this is the desire God has for me, to him that knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, it sins. You know, and if there's something that God's called me to do and I'm not doing it, I'm sinning, then I see that I've fallen short. And that was the purpose of the law. The law was to show them what God had for them and show them where they would fall short. And so if they, not that there would be no punishment if there was no law, but they wouldn't understand that they were wrong if there was no law. So the transgression would not be shown. 16 says, that is why it depends on faith in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. When he says he's made him the father of many nations, that understanding is, you know, the Jews, well, he's just the father of our nation. But the scripture says he's the father of many nations. He's the father of other nations too, but all those nations have to believe in him. They have to have faith. They have to be justified through him. And so it says he's the father of many nations in the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations. And again, it's talking about Abraham here and just the fact that when life had no hope, he had hope in God. And it says, in hope he delivered against hope, and that he should become the father of many nations as he had been told. He believed as he had been told. So shall your offspring be. And he believed it. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. And so it's talking about Abraham's belief here, and again, this is one of those times when God says, just believe me. Because Abraham is almost 100 years old and Sarah, and he's at the point of, you know, we're old. We're basically dead sexually. We're beyond having kids, but if you say so. In all, you know, beliefs of what people would think, all ideas, that's not a possibility. To take two dead bodies, 100-year-old and 90-year-old, and to bring life from our dead bodies. That's just something that most people would not believe. But Abraham did not waver at the promise of God, but he grew stronger in his faith because he knew that from his dead body, God could bring life. And this is where it comes to us today. And so it says that he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted as righteousness. Because he believed God could do what he promised. He believed God could do what he promised. He was justified by that faith, by believing God in that. How many times do we know what God has said to us, and we know what God expects of us? We know, I could ask you, what are some promises God gives us in the Bible? And you could list them off. But as you think of them, are they pretty generic? You know what I mean? It's like, well, he's always going to be, he promises to never leave us nor forsake us. You know, he promises to always be faithful. But those promises that are personal, look some of them up in the Bible there. Those promises that God gives us, and yes, those that I mentioned, are there's nothing wrong with those. But when you begin to take God at His word, it will change our lives. When we take Him not as just, well, this is a promise from the Bible. No, this is a promise to me from the Bible. This is a promise to you from the Bible. That was why the faith was counted to him as righteousness. In verse 23 it says, but the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone. And this was not just a history thing. It was not just written down for the generations after Abraham so that they would have faith in God. It was credited to Father Abraham. Through faith, he was righteous. And so, we should follow him. We should have faith in God. We should have faith in his God. It wasn't written just for those that were there. It was not written for their sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, and who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. See how it ties back in? Abraham believed that God could take out of the death his dead body and bring life. I believe God could take death. My old dead body, my 100-year-old dead body, I believe God could take from my death and make life and give me a son. And so for us, we believe that God took from the death in the grave and brought back to life. And we are justified by our faith in believing that God can do what God says He's going to do. Our faith is those who believe in Him, who believe, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who delivered us up for our trespasses. Jesus was delivered up for my sins. I believe that. You believe that Jesus was delivered up. He was nailed to that cross and buried for my sins. That was my punishment. That was your punishment. The Lord was dead and delivered up for my sins. He was delivered up for our trespasses. But He was raised for our justification. Because the justification that we receive that's credited to us as righteousness comes through our belief in what He did. He died, was buried, and 3 days rose again. He took care of the fact that God was going to be that just God who had to punish sin. So He keeps God as just. But He also keeps God as loving, and He gives us that deliverance from our trespasses and raises. He was raised up for our justification. He was raised up for our justification in the fact that as we believe and we take God at His word, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and my sins. And so as we look at this passage, Paul is trying to tell them that justification, you can put it all in a little bottle if you want to, but Paul is trying to tell them that justification comes through faith. Abraham believed, he took God at His word. David believed, took God at His word. The rituals don't matter. The belief in what God did for us, that's where our belief, our faith, counts as justification that comes only through faith. And so there's a few points. If works could get justification, then what would be the need for Jesus Christ? There would be none. Faith eliminates boasting. It's not about us. It's not about how good I can be or how much I can follow the law or how. It's about my faith in Jesus Christ. The law did not bring about the promises to the nation because people couldn't keep the law. It had to be about faith, and it was all about God. David was credited with righteousness, with forgiveness. It was undeserved, unmerited. The grace of God was all it was. And that same thing stands there for us. Belief is taking God at His word and living. Works does not produce salvation. Salvation produces works. Take God at His word. Justification comes by faith. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much that it does not depend on me. It does not depend on anything I could ever do or any of us could ever do. But it's because of Your grace and Your mercy and Your love. But Lord, You credit us as righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ when we accept and believe and have faith in You. Father God, we thank You for that. We do not in any way deserve it. And Lord, so many times we walk around like we think we do. Father, forgive us. Help us to seek to follow You, to take You at Your word. Help me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.